Amen. I appreciate all of our young folks. I appreciate all of our hyphen age group, and I know many of them this morning are down in the Sunday school area, and I will talk to them about some of this. But our tagline is what? Growing. We're hopefully growing, and we're apostolic, and we have a great history. We have a great legacy that is here. And we are thankful. And yet, we are now officially, it's been more than one decade, and you're going to have to help me with the slides. It's been more than one decade. We are living in the iPhone age. We're living in the iPhone age. And I know I have one. I'm not going to preach against them today. I'm not going to say throw them away. And yet probably all of us at some time have maybe gone kicking and screaming into this technology. Some have run headlong into it. And there are, unfortunately, a lot of possibilities, a lot of great potential with the iPhone, and there's also a lot of great danger. As with any technology, it's how we sort of structure around it and what we sort of do and how we utilize it. But for those of you who may not be old enough to remember, it was just 12 years ago, January the 9th, 2007, that Steve Jobs got up at an Apple conference and he announced a new apparatus. And he said, we're going to come out with a new iPod. And the iPod that will play music, and it's going to be able to hold so many phones, music and albums and all of that. And we're also going to come out with a new cell phone. And this cell phone is going to have something very unique. It's going to have fingertip control, and you won't have a pad on the bottom. There won't be keys there, but you'll use your finger to use the cell phone. And then we're going to come out with a new navigation device, and it will allow you to navigate and connect to the internet anywhere you are. And then, of course, if you go and just Google that meeting, the oohs and ahs, and then he said, he dropped the bomb. He said, all of these will be in one device. We're putting all three in one. You can have your music, you can navigate, you can surf the internet, and you can use your phone all in one. And he called it the iPhone. Instead of the iPod, the whatever, he called it the iPhone. And on June the 29th of 2007, just 12 years ago, less than 12 years ago, they hit the shelves. And it was amazing. The world, the stock, everything. And yet it went wild. People started buying them and lined up. And some of you may remember seeing lines out stores and waiting to get their hands on the first iPhone. And now, of course, we have had them over a decade. And sociologists and psychologists and pastors and all are recognizing that there's a lot of issues with the iPhone. And in fact, when doing an interview, you can actually find this on the internet, on your iPhone, interview with Steve Jobs was asking about, about this is exciting for your children, and he said, well, actually, I limit my children's use of this technology. And everybody, it shook the world, because the man that invented it said he put boundaries around his own children. And that, I remember whenever it had made shockwaves, if you will, but he recognized the dangers and yet the potential. And I understand, we put our services online, and some of you that have been sick, it's been a blessing, and some of you that are probably watching today, and we have saints that are snowbirds in Florida, and they'll send me a text after a sermon and say, great sermon today, Pastor, and whatever. And I'm thankful for that ability for us to minister. And I told you a few months ago when we were in Singapore, a Chinese man came up to me and started talking about one of the sermons that I preached. And I said, I didn't preach that here. He said, oh no, back in your church. And he told me the date that I preached it, and he had logged on to watch it, and I was amazed. I don't think in terms of hello out there, and I don't, you know, all of you, you know, punch a button right now and give and all of that. And I'm sorry, I'm not up on all of that. But the point is, that's amazing that at this place and from this church. And I know, sometimes people are uncomfortable and showing, and yet there have been those that have asked, and just last Sunday were asking, they said, you know, when we watch and we see people praying, it helps us pray at home, and it's important for us to see, and just telling me about that. And yet I understand that we're in a different hour. In fact, over one half of the world's population today is under 30 years of age. Let that sink in. Over one half of the world's population is under 30. And so this technology, in fact, they say right now that more people have a mobile device than have a toothbrush. Because a lot, you know, they just use their finger to brush their teeth in a lot of countries. But they will have a phone. And 53% of the people surveyed said they would rather lose their sense of smell than to be separated from their mobile. Now that just seems shocking. Go ahead, next slide. And I mentioned here, in 12 years, plus or minus, all of these issues have come up. And in fact, there's a book out, and it has a video, and it talks about how the iPhone has changed you. Brother Raymond Woodward also did a series 4 hours long on hashtag selfie, and he's talking about that. And we'll talk about some of that, what he's did, and yet it's all part of this book. Can they show that video now? Is that video just show you how the iPhone... 12 ways it's changing. We're addicted to distraction, number one. We ignore our flesh and blood. We crave immediate approval. Answer me immediately. We lose our literacy. To spell anymore, this spells. We feed on the produced. We become like what we like. It's called idolatry. We get lonely. Believe it or not, still very lonely. Get comfortable in secret vices. We lose meaning. FOMO, fear of missing out. I've talked about that here. Become harsh to one another. place and time. We play it twice. It's all right. Addicted to distractions. And I am not gonna, you can buy this book and read it. Probably can get it on an electronic copy. You can read what different sociologists have said, psychologists have said. You can, I get reports. And like I said, there are actually new disorders, FOMO, fear of missing out, other disorders that FOMO phobia is another phobia that was added psychologically. You know, we have fear of heights and fear of all that. Well, FOMO phobia was a new one. It's a fear of losing your phone, being separated from it from a long period of time, because we check our phone on an average of once every 4.3 minutes. The little GPS in our phones today is 30,000 times the processing speed of the 70-pound computer that landed on the on the moon in Apollo 11. Can you imagine a 70-pound unit that flew all the way to the moon? Your phone is 30,000 times faster. Whether you want to or not, your insurance company is willing to give you a discount on auto insurance if they can leave your app, if they leave their app on all the time so they can check your driving record and see if you go fast or if you brake hard. Or do you know that kind of stuff happens? You can. As a matter of fact, you know, this the search to find my friends and Lifeway and different, that you can add a little bit to that, and I haven't done it, but you can track where other people in your family that are your friends have been, and then you can track how fast they drove to get there and where they turned, and it's all part of this wonderful technology. And I'm serious, it's wonderful, and yet when you think about it, 53% of the people that own a phone, it's the first thing they check every morning. Now, I know that you may say, well, that number is skewed because we set the alarm on our phone. Maybe not all of you, but just by a show of hands, how many use their phone for their alarm? Okay, all right, that's what I thought. I do too. And I was thankful when they came out with a different change of the snooze, because I had for a while, whatever program they came, I was accidentally shutting it off instead of hitting snooze. Anybody know what I'm talking? Anyway. 71% sleep next to their cell phone, over 2 hours a day on social media. And now that one, I'm okay. I don't spend, and I'm going to hear, I want you to make sure you understand this, but the millennials and what we're calling, you know, 30 and younger are spending, according to the statistics, over 2 hours a day on social media, whether that's Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, or a bunch of other social media apps. And that's what I said. For those of you who may be my age and older, you may not be into that at all and may not understand that at all. And I will tell you, my mother is on Facebook, and my mother will keep up with what's going on. But I'm here to tell you that my wife is not on Facebook, and I am not on Facebook. Sheena's not on Facebook. Caitlin's not on Facebook. I'm not telling you that because I want you not to be on Facebook. But what I'm telling you is, if you put a prayer request on Facebook and you want me to pray, unfortunately, I won't see it. If my mom happens to see it and she calls me and tells me or texts me that, did you know so-and-so in your church was sick? I'll say, no, I didn't, but they put it on Facebook and they expected me to know. And I'm okay with you putting it on Facebook. My wife will respond because of Messenger to Facebook, and I'm good with that. Sometimes she will take and respond to me. I don't check my phone for Facebook. I don't have it where it will log on to that. I'm not preaching against it. I'm okay with it, but I'm just telling you that it's okay. Make sure that somehow, you know, either I'll give you my cell phone number, you can text me directly, or if it takes a while for it to get to someone to check it, don't be offended at that, because it's not like my phone. If I would get on Facebook, I would then hit my thumb would scroll, and I found out that then I would look at this one and that one. And believe it or not, some people that have requested to be my friend don't think about what pictures they put on Facebook. I'm glad they went on vacation, but I didn't need to see how they were dressing and what they were doing. It's okay. I'm not offended by it. I'm just giving you you understand. I'm not on Snapchat at all, not on Instagram. I'm not on any of the others, Pinterest, whatever, all the others. So if you're reaching out to me, people, you know, will say, join LinkedIn or something else. I don't hardly have time to do that. I apologize. I'm just saying, I do have a phone and I do check my email, and every once in a while we'll check Facebook. Sometimes I'm not as quick on the updraw on Facebook Messenger. But what's happened is, the greater the phone addiction they're finding, the greater these kids are being depressed, and the greater the anxiety, and the greater the sleep disorders, and it actually increases a sense of loneliness. Can you believe it? That you would think that being able to be connected to all these folks would all of a sudden make them no longer lonely, but it doesn't. It actually increases loneliness, and we'll talk about maybe some of that even later tonight. I know but I guess this first one was, we get addicted to distractions, digital distractions, and every one of us have found ourselves distracted. And distraction is not a new thing. Let me just tell you, distraction is as old as the world goes. You know, I'm not talking that it's any that distractions have never been an issue. Distractions have always been an issue, but now the ease of distractions is even greater, and all these young folks are going to have to learn how to monitor it. Because if you're not careful, you can get distracted and keep work away. So most companies will monitor, if you're working online or on the computer, they will monitor what websites you go and what you're doing, because it's easy on, whether it's on your phone or on your computer at work, to all of a sudden follow a stream, and you go from that, and well, that article's interesting, and you go to the next, and you go to the next one, and then you go to the next one, and you follow that rabbit trail, and before long, it's an hour's gone by, or 2 hours, And in the meantime, while I'm doing that, I'm not interacting with anybody. So I keep people away by being distracted by this. In fact, the more time I spend this, typically the less time I spend with other people. And before long I withdraw, and people don't really get to know me. Oh, they know my digital self. You know, when I put a cup of coffee and open the Bible and put a pen, write a line, say, morning's in the Word. I faked myself out and everybody else out, thinking, you know, sort of build myself up on my thing, and yet I know it's fake. You know, I just had an amazing 3 hours of spiritual insight. God is really using me. And in reality, I've just, you know, it's been a terrible morning and all the problems. And so consequently, not only do I keep work away, not only is the potential of keeping people away, and I realize, you know, people have a tough job and that, you know, it's easy to escape, and I'm guilty, and I probably where you will see me more addicted than anywhere else is in an airport. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm not there to minister. I'm on my phone, and I'm playing Candy Crush, or I'm playing some game, and that's, you know, and it's easy then to sit down with the family, and if the conversation kind of lulls, I'll just get out my phone. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Not us, but I'm talking about all those other people that are out there, and then scroll through it, and then this was kind of boring. So I keep people away. And then when it comes time, and I early morning, I bring my phone, I bring my iPad, and I will use it, and I will read the word. But it you know, there have been times I've been tempted to go, wonder what's happening in the news today, And then boom, you know, you go to one news article, and then I got to go, whoa, 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 because this is my chance. You know, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm praying. And yet my phone will ping and alert and ding and notifications. And a while ago, my folks are at a thing, another church over in the Chicago area, and my dad called me, forgot it was 10:30 here. And so I saw it was him. I thought, oh man, wonder if he's had a problem. So I stepped out and I took the phone call in the middle of church. Isn't that terrible? I know you all have never looked at your phone in the middle of church, but I got an alert. And I justified it, you know? I understand. Well, that's, I get it. I understand how you feel. I understand how easy it is to be distracted, and you keep God away, and you keep everybody away if you're not careful. And yet we have this sense of, because these distractions come so quick, that it develops this what we would call a spiritual distraction disorder. It's like attention deficit disorder. You know, I can't look at a story very long, and if it doesn't grab me, and if it's not short, and advertisers are realizing it, and they've got the ads down to 5 seconds and 10 seconds and 15 seconds, because bam, 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 we got to get you a quick ad, because then you'll skip the ad, and they're trying to get anybody, you know what I'm talking about. And so our attention span is getting shorter and shorter, and then all of a sudden we can get sort of hooked on this whiplash of emotions. And I understand if Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. I understand that we go through different emotions, but typically it's not quite as fast as I can scroll with my thumb. And so what happens, because I'm going through so many different emotions so quick, that I don't really feel them very deeply. Sort of becomes, you know, clap, clap, clap for you, teary eyes for you, heart for you. And I can do all of that and never really break out in a smile. Huh? Where Ecclesiastes says, weep that with those that weep. And we saw this example, and I, just like these ladies that were here crying, and many of you were praying with them and feeling the feeling of their infirmity. Well, you don't do that when you're zipping through it on the cell phone. You don't have that kind of feeling. You don't feel that deeply. You don't connect that way.
Amen.
As I told you, many of them have a story, and I'm not outing them, but the fact is, you know, all of a sudden, you know, these emotions that are running and they're coming so fast that we don't really feel them very deep. And so, you know, we hear about fake news. Well, let me tell you what we're better at than all of that. That's called fake emotions. We don't really feel anything anymore because we just suppress everything. And so we express contrived emotions. It's how do we want, do I think you would want me to respond? And so I respond because I think you want that. And see, there's a little bit of crying, or that could be maybe you're laughing so hard. And then the other one is, well, I'm really sad. Tears are just flowing. And then heart. And then the next one, you know, that doesn't mean revival, believe that or not. And that doesn't mean Holy Ghost. It's called campfire. The next one is not worship. But, you know, we'll put that there, worship, hallelujah. And then this one is not praying for you. Read it on emoji. These are called emojis for those of you who are my age. They also have something called memes. And that's where they take different pictures and they put words on it and they put music. And we got some folks in here that are pretty talented. Sister, we went on a trip to Israel and we came back with memes about people riding camels. I won't say who they were. Sister Kay Mills, rather, I'm sorry. Brother Matthew White, I'm sorry. Had a great meme for all of that. I understand, and they're fun, and they put memes, and it's funny, and I can take 30 minutes or 15 minutes, and now I can get a program in 5 minutes or 10 minutes to make a meme, but that's what I said, that's not praying for you. Actually, that emoji is called folded hands. And if I put that, do I actually do that? Or do I proverbially put the thoughts and prayers, clink? Or do I pray for them? You see, because that's the danger of this device, is that I get hit with all these different things, and do I respond genuinely? Or do I give a fake response? Is it something that, you know, I just give a partial, easy, quick response? Now, as I told you, before cell phones 12 years ago, before computers 100 years ago, before there was even electricity, Jesus himself said you can have a problem with distractions. And he talked about it in Mark, the 4th chapter. And I've preached about it and you've heard it. It's about the soil of your soul. And that sometimes you can get busy or you can have distractions and the birds and the so forth. And that 75% of all of that seed never fell on good ground because they didn't have depth. They were focused on, something offended them, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches. And I, by the way, you know, you talk about easy to get offended. If somebody doesn't like your post quick enough or somebody doesn't respond quick enough, it can feel like you're doing that personally. And then somebody can say something else. And we've already seen in our society, even in the last 12 years, that people should have kept their mouth shut or kept their thumbs shut in their pockets before they put something on. And then they find out later there's more to the story and there was, but they're quick to say, oh, that's terrible. That guy, this man, they should have, huh? And then you find out, wow, there was more to that story than that. And so the question becomes, with distractions, will I use this wonderful technology to increase the Word of God, to increase my connection to the Bible, to studying, to reaching out in genuine concern. And I know, I got a text this week from Brother Lee past week when he landed in Singapore and talked to us, and I talked to him back, and it's powerful. You couldn't have done that 20 years ago. You know, you had to either make a phone call or send a letter, and man, we could just, boom, send a text, and we've Skyped, and I get it. The technology is wonderful. I'm not against the technology, but what I'm saying is we've got to learn how to make sure we have boundaries around it, or it can be as destructive as anything else. In fact, you remember the distraction that was going on with Mary, Martha, and the brother, Lazarus, when Jesus came and Mary was fixing dinner, and there's nothing wrong with fixing dinner, and she was doing the thing, but what did Jesus say? Mary hath chosen the good part because it's something eternal. And so, I mean, I don't care, and I'm not preaching against them. I understand. And if you're into favorite cat videos or stupid animal tricks or whatever you watch on, it's okay. I'm good with that. I like to see the animals. I like to see the funny thing. I like all of that. But make sure, have I at all spent any time talking to the Lord? Have I spent any time talking to the family? Have I spent any time? Huh? It's the same issues that we had when television came out, and all of a sudden, now I don't have to go to church. I got something busy. You understand? This technology is all of a sudden there, and now will it distract me from what I'm doing and what I need to do, what I'm doing for God? Matthew, the 12th chapter, 2,000 years ago, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things out of the abundance of the heart? The mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man, and this, be careful of every idle word. Every idle word. My grandmother used to say that to me when I was a kid. She would say, Keith, be careful of every idle word. I didn't know what that meant. It just means a word that has no eternal value. It's just ya-ya. And I've seen folks get caught up, and somebody says something, and they spend an hour ya-ya-ing. Huh? And you're like, are you saying anything bad? No, not necessarily. But, you know, by your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. And so when you say those kinds of things and you say, well, you know, I want to reach out. And yet we have it's unfortunate, but with this, with all of these distractions, over 93 million selfies are taken per day. Now, selfie is when you hold the camera up and take yourself. Now, everybody knows that you don't take it from down low, or you'll get your neck will show, but you take it from high. So everybody, and then they have sticks that you can, you know, put it out there a little further if you sort of have a bigger girth. 400 million Snapchats posted per day, 20,000 per second. And those are statistics from, I think, 17. Another book, Alone Together, written by a sociologist, talking about how we are feeling more and more isolated, even though we are reaching out to the world. And we want faster and faster responses. And I put here, you know, I'm sorry, I don't monitor some of those things. And yet, what are you saying about all of this? This picture a few years ago went viral, remember? There was some event that was going on in Boston, and Johnny Depp, I think, was supposed to be there. And all of a sudden, here it is. There's one lady Can you see her? The guy next to her, he's trying to find his phone on his app. He's trying to find, not his phone, he's trying to find his camera on his app. He's like me. Where is it? Huh? But she was there just to enjoy.
All right, that's good.
What was happening? But we're not like that. I told you last Sunday where, you know, a couple of people got into a fight on freeway and people were stopping and finally somebody put their phone down and went and helped try to break them up because they were getting out into the freeway. But everybody else was filming it. We're not going to be involved, but we're going to take a picture. You understand? I don't have my time. What does it do? If we're not careful, it will keep us from being connected to the body. Our elders become invisible. You know, and I've had people tell me, I'm okay with Jesus, but I don't really need the church body. We're part of the church. We're the church. I understand that. Yes, we are the church. But there's something powerful about seeing these ladies pray and being here and praying with them. There's something powerful about knowing that my brother's fighting for cancer and my brother's fighting it. And all of a sudden the church is able to, huh? We are supposed to be his body. What does Hebrews say? Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. And how do you provoke me if you don't ever see me eye to eye? Tweet me? Are you going to tweet me to live for God? Are you going to folded hands me? How are you going to reach out to me? Well, I don't. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here in church. But we see the population of church attendance going down because I can do it online. And I appreciate online. And as I said, we've got people. I actually got a text just a while ago from someone who's watching online right now said, Pastor, you're doing a great job. It's 90 degrees where I am. Trying to inspire jealousy in me. And yet, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I realize that I try to reach out and I try to make a phone call and I try to text and I do try to reach out to folks on texting and calling and email. And yet there's still something important about actually showing up. And it's something important about actually seeing their face. And I understand these dangers. And yet, you know, Philippians talks about, be ye followers together of me, mark them that walk so as they have an example. You say, well, not everybody that goes to church is good. I got it. Not everybody do I. I understand. Paul said, mark those that are not good. That doesn't, you know what? If you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, don't stop here. And yet, what does he say? For many walk, as I've told you, and they are enemies of the cross, and their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, who do mind earthly things. And I get it. I understand. And yet, what happens because of social media, if I don't like something, I just zip through it. Whereas in a family, if I don't like something, we have to work through it. And that's where all of a sudden folks get off track. And that is, you know, I can easily get whatever and I lose my connection. And yet over and over, for the body is one, have many members and all the members. And So also is Christ. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body and have been made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member but many members. And then that's where, right before this chapter and this verse, that's where Paul actually began to talk about communion. And he said that's what this is all about, is establishing the body. And I'm sorry if you're out watching me, I wish you, I could send you some grape juice and wafer. And for those of you who are not here, but there is a sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Ghost here this morning. It's been here all service. You can hear a good sermon, hear not a good sermon, hear good singing, hear not good singing. But there's something about when we get together, what we feel in the spirit world. There are individuals that need strength and that need a touch. And I was thinking of Cole Collins and Greg and some of those. And here's what Paul said in this book. First of all, when you come together in a church, I hear there's divisions and fighting among you. And I partially believe it. He goes on to talk about that. He said, but I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then the last part of that verse says, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And he goes on in that same chapter and says, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, because they do not discern what? The Lord's body. What are you saying? That this is it. Yep. I've got friends in Singapore. I've got friends everywhere and part of the body of Christ. I get it. But just for today, right now, this is who we have. We have each other. Your burdens become my burdens. Your victories become my victories. What you're feeling, and it's not just clap, 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 weep, weep, weep. There's something, because the Bible says we've been baptized into one Spirit. And so spiritually, all of a sudden, we begin to feel just what Jesus did. When the Bible says he was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. And so for a moment in time, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, is recognizing that it's because of the Lord that we're a body. Most of us probably would not have ever known each other had it not been for what the Lord's done for us. We would have never... You know, I don't know how many users there are on Facebook, but how many people are on Snapchat, I don't know. But these are the ones that I feel from my spirit. That's what this is all about. Let's stand. If you would like to join us, we're going to come. We'll come in as close as we can. And Brother Keys, do you have some that are coming to serve, Brother? If you want to join us, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Come, we'll make a line in close. We'll leave a little space, make another line. Leave a little space, make another line. He said, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death. Just come in real close, right up to the front. Why? Because I'm so glad I'm part of a body. So glad I'm part of a church. It's okay if you're not connected to a church, you're 1,000 miles away and listening to this, I would encourage you, find a local church that you can be a part of. It's all right to listen to us. It's all right to log on, hear what we have to say, but you need to be a part of a local body as well. Why? Because this is what this is all about. As oft as we do this, if you'll just, when you take it, if you'll wait, we'll do it together.